There are some people in the world born for adventure, where laying on the beach or by the pool sipping cocktails just doesn't cut it. And this was true for Emma Kelty, a head teacher of a school just outside London. Known for her can-do attitude, she never shied away from a challenge. And sadly, her lust for adventure would ultimately lead to her brutal murder. Hey Coffee and Crimers, I'm your host, Belle Fagan. So today's case is a little different. It's not a situation that the majority of us will ever find ourselves in, but that doesn't take away the fact that a human life was brutally cut short, and Emma Kelty deserves to be remembered. In 2014, Emma had turned 43 and sadly her dad had passed away. Deciding that she no longer wanted life to pass her by, she quit her job, sold her apartment and decided to pursue a life of full-time travel. And this wasn't a spur of the moment, I've never left my town, midlife crisis type of thing. She was already an experienced solo traveller. But now she wanted to start ticking the big adrenaline-fueled adventures off of her bucket list. And she did. In late 2016, she began a 54-day solo trip in the Antarctica and smashed it. Arriving at the South Pole on January 17th, 2017. She proudly wrote on her blog, "The sixth woman to ski solo to the South Pole." And incidentally, her blog is actually still available and it's linked in today's case description. After watching the Reese Witherspoon movie called Wild, as fearless as ever, she decided that she also wanted to hike alone across the 2,650-mile Pacific Crest Trail in the United States. And the movie was based on the true story of Cheryl Strayed, who hiked more than 1,000 miles of that trail alone at the age of 26. So Emma figured if Cheryl could do it, so could she. And again, she succeeded. I mean, kudos to her, because give me the cocktails by the pool any day of the week. But honestly, people that do these kind of things for fun are incredible. So like I said, she'd arrived in the South Pole in January of 2017 and was already planning her next expedition, declaring to her family and friends that she would be solo kayaking the 4,000-mile-long Amazon River, and it would be her biggest venture to date. She would start her journey at Rio Marañón in Peru and end at the Atlantic Ocean. So you might be like me and need to put the distance into perspective. So the Amazon River's length is the equivalent distance of, let's say, New York City to Florence in Italy, or Galway in Ireland to Moscow, Russia. I mean, sheesh, just sitting on a long-haul flight exhausts me. But this woman is going to be kayaking her butt that distance. No engine in a boat, just the arms that God gave her rowing the entire way. But if that's not enough to put you off, the danger might. Emma's blog had actually caught the attention of the BBC, and they interviewed her, and one of the questions was about the potential dangers that her upcoming trip posed. Emma, with a smile, said, "Well, that's half the challenge." And she carried on saying, quote, "But it's about minimising the risk. I'm going to a self-defence course, which is going to be tailored to de-arming people. So if I do come across the situation, at least I'm prepared for it." End quote. And girl, I wish that that had truly been enough. Emma was fully aware of the dangers that she could come up against, but she wasn't going to be deterred from going. She did her self-defense course and whitewater training, and she even did kind of like a practice run where she spent a few weeks kayaking in Slovenia. She arrived home a few days before her flight to Peru, ready and raring to go. But before we mentally board that flight with her, what were these dangers that everyone was so worried about? Now you might be thinking, well, surely it's the wild animals, or catching some sort of waterborne disease, or even the water itself. I mean, she's going in a kayak and those things tip, so drowning is a real possibility. And although you'd be correct in thinking all of that, they weren't the real danger. It was the people. Now, I don't want anyone getting it twisted and thinking that Emma was some kind of naive woman who, while riding off the high of her polar adventure, had spontaneously booked a flight to Peru and thought, oh, hey, I'll just figure this all out while I'm there. No, she had done her due diligence. She contacted a fellow Londoner by the name of Ollie Hunter Smart, who had paddled the Amazon in 2015 with a partner. In an interview, Ollie said, quote, "We went for lunch and spent 7 hours in that restaurant talking about this journey, my experience with it and the equipment we took. We talked about the dangers and the risks, but also the nice side of things as well." End quote. He then introduced her to another Amazon paddler called West Hansen, and the two of them emailed back and forth. And when Emma told him that she'd be doing this trip alone, he didn't mince his words. He said, "Picture a world without laws or manners, no social norms or assistance for hundreds of miles. Rape does not exist because there is no reason to report it. Killings are a daily occurrence because bodies are easy to dispose of, and disappearances are common for innocent reasons. So they are written up as simply that, disappearances." And this guy wasn't just trying to unjustly scare her. He himself, on his trip, which wasn't a solo trip, had been held at gunpoint on 5 separate occasions during just that one trip alone. And every Amazon source-to-sea expedition up to that point had experienced similarly terrifying encounters with armed pirates, drug runners, and local militias. Literally, there were plenty of past happenings that Emma was told about during her 7-hour lunch date with Ollie and her emails with West. For example, in 2011, a Polish couple kayaking through the same region was murdered, and their bodies hacked to pieces, weighted down with rocks, and sunk in the river. In 2012, a South African adventurer was shot 3 times and left for dead. Both of these attacks had taken place in a part of northeastern Peru known as the Red Zone. When Emma told Ollie that her route would obviously be going through this red zone, he tried to be helpful. He said to her, "In the red zone, you're coming up to a village and you'll hear these whistles and little clicks going down the river. And then someone will pop out on the riverbank with a shotgun." And how did he know this? Because his guide was shot as they passed through the red zone. So, FYI, I would be running for the hills at this point. Absolutely no part of this sounds fun. Okay, challenge or not, like I said, I am built for umbrella drinks and an all-you-can-eat buffet. But not Emma. The head teacher and her coming out, she'd listened carefully and taken copious notes. And in typical problem-solving mode, she looked for solutions. And those being the self-defense class and the training in aggressive waters. And through word of mouth, she was hoping it would get back to the locals that she was coming in peace and that safe travel would be granted. And I say this with love, but that last part is a little bit delulu. And West told her as much. He also told her that the red zone, for all its danger, was actually one of the safest parts that she would be going through. He was also concerned because, yes, she'd done the white water training, but she had a 500-mile stretch of white water to navigate, and to get to that level of skill takes years, whereas she'd only trained for months. But she was determined to paddle the Amazon solo and unassisted, so that meant travelling alone with no guide or any outside support. But after everyone going on and on at her, she did make a compromise, which was a pretty big deal as she wasn't known as the type to compromise. She agreed to paddle the white water with guides for safety and advice, but would accept no help paddling her own kayak or carrying her gear. She also said that she'd start from a safer section. And by safer, I don't mean safe. Because in 2013, a blind adventure seeker and his guides were held captive, and in 1995, an American paddler had been murdered on that safe stretch of river. And for any listeners that are this way inclined, please, we're all begging you to not choose kayaking the Amazon River as your go-to trip. Go get an iced coffee and a good book, okay? Because there's adrenaline, and then there's madness. But I mean, who am I? On June 15th, 2017, Emma landed in Lima, ready to begin her adventure.
There's Emma Kelsey getting ready. up to the source of the Amazon. How do you feel here at 3,800 meters elevation?
Quite lightheaded. No, it's really good. I can't wait. Can't wait to actually start, get up to the top and actually start kayaking down.
How long's your whole journey estimated to take?
About 5-6 months. So, yeah, it's a long time.
Well, you got a lot of time, so we'll get gone.
She detailed her trip on her blog, her Instagram, her Facebook, and her Twitter pages. Sticking to schedule, within days of her arrival, she began the 45-day trek to Rio Marañón with her safety crew, which also included a guide and an interpreter. 2 weeks into the trip, though, there was a disagreement, and two members of her crew left after she refused to listen to them about the dangers of going a specific route, telling her that it was no longer fun and not to worry about paying them. They just simply left. Now, you're going to have to excuse me because I am going to butcher a lot of these place names, so just give me some grace. On July 29th, 2017, Emma arrived at Cerro Merisa and said goodbye to her remaining crew. And the next day, she began the next 3,000 miles of her journey alone. In a tweet she posted on August 21st, 2017, she told her Twitter followers that she had paddled hard upstream to reach a little beach on the opposite side of the river, just to have a little rest, only to find a man waving a machete and ravens eating whatever he had just killed. And then she said, "As I paddled hard away, I could hear his shouts." And if only she'd known that this was a glimpse of what was to come. I think the reason that the true crime genre has more of a female demographic is because, sadly, compared to our male counterparts, we do have to look at the world around us differently. As lovely as it would be to just cruise through life without worrying about how far we park from the entrance of a building, or how deserted the parking area is, or walking down a dimly lit street without having to look over our shoulder and hopefully carrying a rape alarm or some alternative. And for Emma, she should have been allowed to travel and complete her journey without having to face the possibility of sick and depraved people who don't think twice about taking advantage of a woman travelling alone. The days after that tweet got increasingly worse, with Emma having even more encounters with unsavoury locals. She became more and more exhausted as random strangers interrupted her sleep. On August 23rd, 2017, she tweeted, "Getting more tired every day. Let's hope I don't get four more guys returning to visit me after dark tonight." 3 days later, on August 26th, Emma stopped in São Paulo do Olivenca to get some rest. But the following day, she tweeted that she hadn't been able to change out of her wet clothes as she had caught the attention of two men who had parked up their boat and spent 2 hours just staring at her. Soon after, one of the guides who had travelled with Emma on the first leg heard that she had been murdered. It seemed like it had come from a credible source, so the news was relayed back to Emma's brother in England. He immediately sent her a message via her satellite messenger and waited for what felt like an eternity. Several hours later, she texted back and said, "Well, let's hope it's not a premonition." Just a reminder to join our Facebook discussion group, as you'll have all the photos of her trip, her tweets, and her messages in there. As Emma continued on up the river, she met some nice locals this time, who, when learning where she was headed, tried to give her advice. They warned her of the dangers of kayaking alone near the town of Cuyari, but she was determined to continue on regardless. Her satellite messenger also allowed her to post on Facebook, and she wrote about this exchange, saying, "So, in or near Cuyari, 100 kilometres away, I will have my boat stolen and I'll be killed too. Nice." End quote. Oh girl, why aren't you hightailing it out of there? But I think we're all pretty clear by now that nothing was going to stop Emma from continuing on, and having made it this far, she had way more confidence than she did before. The whole stretch from where she was until Cuyari was a funnel for drug traffickers. The river narrows and has lots of kind of these little islands dotted around that are perfect for smugglers or river pirates and everyday opportunists to just hide, ready to jump out and rob or murder passing kayakers. No one, okay, and I mean no one, travels alone along this stretch. Even the Navy patrol boats travel in twos. And here was Emma about to fly solo. On September 12th, she had come face to face with a group of 30 to 50 men, all armed with arrows and rifles. Again, taking to social media, she wrote, "My face must have been a picture." The next day, all of those on her socials that were following her trip breathed a sigh of relief when she posted, "I'm in the clear, all okay." She was now a few miles past Kauri and decided to pull up on one of those islands dotted along the water and set up camp for the night. What she didn't know was that that specific island was super popular with Colombian drug traffickers and was still part of the area that the nice locals had told her to avoid. On day 42 of the journey, with her SOS alarm activated, Emma Kelty disappeared. Her SOS alarm meant that her exact location was found by police, but when together with the Brazilian Navy they searched for Emma, all they found was some of her belongings, which included her kayak, but no Emma. Obviously, given the area that she was in terms of corruption, the reports of her murder were either vague or contradictory. But on the other hand, there's always people with loose lips. And it wasn't long before a group of teens and men in their early 20s were arrested. Police confirmed that the gang operated like pirates, who went out in a canoe looking to steal, and they had targeted Emma at random when they saw her tent on the beach. Thinking that it belonged to a Colombian with drugs, they started firing from about 50 metres away. Emma was hit in the arm and allegedly came out of the tent and started waving frantically to show that she was no drug trafficker, as well as screaming for help. Seeing her did nothing to stop them. If anything, it made it worse. They cut off her hair with a knife and demanded to know where the drugs were. They then brutally raped her and stabbed her and threw her into their boat. Shockingly, locals reported seeing her still alive and conscious in the gang's boat. The gang then sailed into the middle of the river, slit her throat, and dumped her into the water. The suspects told the police that they had cut near her shoulder and neck so that it would attract carnivorous piranha fish that would eat her remains. They said that they'd also tried to cut off her head so that she would be dead first, but they didn't manage it, so they said they were pretty sure that she was still alive at the point that they dumped her into those piranha-infested waters. They had stolen her two phones, her GoPro camera and her iPad, all of which they sold to a villager later on. So you know I said that Emma's SOS alarm had been activated. Well, it turns out not by her. The gang had unwittingly alerted the authorities to their crime after they'd accidentally triggered the distress signal an hour and a half after her death. One of the killers had been trying to figure out how to use it and had accidentally pressed the SOS button. And thank goodness they did, because authorities would never have known which stretch of the river Emma had been murdered on, and the crime would have gone unsolved. However, to this day, Emma's body has never been recovered, which frankly is to be expected considering they made sure to dump her into piranha-infested waters. It was claimed that Emma had been murdered by 24-year-old Ivan Nilsson Gomes da Costa, who had shot Emma twice in the head. But before he could be arrested, he was killed by a rival gang on September the 20th, 2017. But he had a partner, 28-year-old Arthur Gomes da Silva. Both of them were leaders of the Water Pirates, or Water Rats, a gang with connections to drug trafficking, stolen merchandise, and murder. Arthur went on the run when police were sniffing around, but was finally arrested on the 8th of February, 2023, 5.5 years after Emma disappeared, while he was taking his daughter to a children's hospital. He was sentenced to 29 years and 11 months in prison for his role in the killing, convicted of robbery, homicide, rape and concealment of a corpse. Emma's brothers Pierce and Giles and sister Natasha have all taken over her social media accounts and paid tribute to their brave sibling. And ultimately, that's what she was, a brave woman who wanted to experience life rather than hide away scared. And many have applauded her for that. But many others have condemned her on the risks that she took, saying that she brought it on herself. And to be honest, both views are correct in my opinion. She was brave, but she was also reckless. Her death was inevitable, really, and the truth is that she should never have been on that river, not alone and not without an escort. And I promise you, I'm not saying that to belittle Emma or everything that she accomplished and her ambitions. It's just the hard, cold fact of the matter. Emma wasn't the first paddler to knowingly take on the risks of the Amazon, and I doubt she'll be the last. But all the ones that made it before her were lucky. Simple as that. To see Emma's photos, along with her tweets and social media posts, click on the link in the case description to join the Cup of Coffee and Crime Facebook discussion group. Until next week, stay safe.